This is the Women Uninterrupted podcast brought to you by The Hindu. This podcast is a space where we host difficult, different, and uninterrupted conversations between women. Hello, I'm your host, Anna Thomas, on Women Uninterrupted, and this episode is part of a series on women and singlehood. I'm speaking today with Aloka Sengupta, a biotechnology professional, a content creator, a mother, and a grandmother. Welcome, Aloka, to Women Uninterrupted.
Thank you, Anu. Good evening, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for agreeing to speak with me about love, loss, grief, and on becoming single by widowhood, a difficult conversation for everyone. A conversation that could be started even before it happens. A conversation between couples, perhaps. Aloka, you lost your husband during the pandemic at the end of a possibly eventful journey together. Can I ask, how many years were you together? How did you two meet? Tell us the story, a quick recap of your life as partners.
We met almost 50 years ago, 49 years and a few days ago at university. We studied together, we grew up together, we married, lived our lives together. So 50 years is a long time to live together, Anu. And maybe I have a sense of anger or grouse because this is a small conversation we've had that this is what we're going to do on our 50th anniversary. And during the last few days when he was unwell, he always said, I promise you, we will celebrate 50th anniversary together with champagne and then I will go. He didn't make it. And sometimes more than sorrow, it's a feeling of anger which overwhelms me.
Okay, so, when was your 50th?
He passed away on 10th of January, 2021. Okay. My 50th anniversary was 19th of January, 2021.
Okay. What makes you happy now? Has your definition of happiness changed?
Not really. The definition of happiness, I don't think, changes. You do feel the loss, which makes a difference of the intensity of feeling. You know, we've heard about phantom limb after people amputate their limbs and you feel that it's there. That's my biggest feeling now. That's the biggest sensation. It's like a phantom limb that you feel that he's still there somewhere. Mm. And there are certain things you continue to do. I always slept on one side of the bed. I don't move to the other end. I stay to that end. There are certain places in the dining table I sit. I stick to that. There are certain glasses which are mine and which are his, hasn't changed. But there's a huge feeling of hollowness when you live together. It's that. And that will never go away. Time, they say, is a great healer. Mm. It heals. The rawness of the wound disappears. But the wound remains.
I'm sorry for that. Would you say your day, that what you do during a day, is that different now after his passing? Is there a particular time of the day which is more difficult than others?
Yes, a few practices have changed. Small example, I used to have a very hurried breakfast and move out with other chores of the day and go, or go to work, whatever. And now my breakfast has become more elaborate and a more leisurely breakfast. I used to spend a lot of time reading newspapers with him in the balcony, which has reduced. I tend to read with my meals now. And the time when I miss him most, the main time is evening around 7:30, that's when we used to have our drink together. And now when I pour only one drink and not two, I mean, for the first month, it was almost like an automatic habit. I would take two glasses, fill them with my eyes, pour a drink, and then realize, oh, why am I doing this? Yeah, it was like a involuntary action. And slowly one had to school oneself and do that. So that's the time, I think, when I miss him most. And what do I miss him about? The frequent fights and squabbles about which TV program would one see. So we have, if you notice, two TVs in the house because the tastes were quite different. We were completely different, disparate kind of people. So it's quite amazing how we managed to get along, possibly because we were so different.
Rob, you had family, friends, you have a family, you have a granddaughter, people who knew you together as a unit. These kinds of relationships and the frequency of meeting up with them, has that changed? What was it like the first time you went into a social gathering after you lost your husband?
I think my closest friends and family have been very understanding. And they made sure that nothing really changed. There were very open conversations about how we missed him or how we would have liked it particularly. He was a great foodie. So how we would have liked this kind of food or where he would have enjoyed a holiday. But they made sure that I did not feel the absence very much. And they never changed. That was one good thing. And some of them have actually come very close. My daughter has tried her, stepped up very well. And she, her husband, they used to be busy with their own lives. But now they've made a lot more time for me. That's very important to have family close by and not far away somewhere in the States or somewhere like that where you see them once a year. So that's been very, very important.
Shout out to your daughter here, yes, if you're listening. Can I ask you, Aloka, is it possible to come to terms with losing a partner? How do you deal with that sort of grief?
My advice is, okay, it's probably different when somebody passes away young in life unexpectedly. But as you get older, once you cross your 70s and things like that, it's something I think it's important that one should prepare for and take it in your stride when it happens, because it's inevitable. Two people cannot go simultaneously. There will be a gap. It could be a long gap. It could be a short gap. I'd seen my mother do it when my father passed away. She lived for quite a few years after that. She used to go on a spree of buying saris and having her hair done and things like that. Never let it get her down because she was very sure that her state of depression would affect us. So for our sakes, she continued to be doing whatever she used to do normally. I think that's very important. That life has to go on. All of us will go one day. So when it happens at the right time, or at a, be happy that they didn't suffer too much and move on. Things will change. Some things you have to adapt to, but you have to move on in life, not keep looking back over your shoulder.
Did you continue working immediately after?
Yes. There was still COVID going on, so immediately was a little difficult. But I got back to work as soon as possible. That has helped. I mean, the time I spent at work has reduced, but still, that continuity helps a lot.
Have you picked up a new hobby, done something new?
I haven't done anything new very much. Work is what keeps me happy. The hobbies have intensified, but they're the same. I still do my crosswords and then my writings and my little blogs or whatever. I can continue to do that. As to cook more often, that has reduced because the population in the house has reduced. The big foodie has gone, so I don't do that very often. But one thing which was done is, I think, something we had deliberately planned. A lot of things like bank accounts, etc., etc. We had done it in joint name and things like that. A lot of friends stepped up to get those, because these were COVID times, to talk to the bank and make things work. So the financial transition was fairly smooth.
Okay. we should all be aware that we are sometime going to lose our partner. What are the papers you must put in order? Where can you find support? What legal issues can you encounter?
I think it's very important for both, for the husband as well as the wife, because it can happen either way.
Yes.
And to make wills, respective wills, and put them in places, how you are going to divide your estate property amongst family members is very important. In all things like bank accounts, stock holdings, properties, there should be always be a nominee for the movable properties, because without that, it becomes very difficult to do. So it's best to get your papers and everything in order, list out your assets, make a statement and give it to somebody trustworthy. It doesn't have to be a lawyer. It has to be somebody known to you. Give it to them and leave it with them and make wills. Make wills so that everything is clear. I mean, it's not shameful. There's nothing wrong. A lot of people don't make wills because, oh, how can I do that? It means I'm dying is silly. It's practical to do all that and put your papers in order. It makes life much simpler. Much simpler.
Did you two ever talk or prepare for this separation? I mean, was it difficult bringing it up? Some people think it's an ashubha bath.
No, it was not ever thought of as ashubha bath. But he was older. So I don't know. This was some kind of a foregone conclusion that we had that he would go first. I don't know why we did that. But barring that 50th wedding anniversary and you can't do anything funny before that, I don't think we had a very open conversation. I think both of us knew it was inevitable. He made his will, I made my will. Both sides were, in practical terms, quite prepared. You cannot be emotionally prepared.
Yeah.
When it happens, it'll happen. It also depends on how one passes away. He passed away very peacefully, in the sense he had his chicken curry rice and a drink, went to sleep and didn't wake up. So, which was a fairly peaceful kind of thing. He had just come back from hospital, but came back very happy, feeling, oh, I can have a drink now. And I've had enough bisi bele bhat kind of thing. Died in a happy frame of mind, not cribbing about it.
Is there anything that you did not expect would happen? What is the biggest change that you can tell us about? One big change that took you unawares.
Big change that took me unawares. I think everything, very honestly, Anu, because in that sense, one never mentally prepares for it. One doesn't plan ahead. One plans the practical things ahead, that this is what will happen to the estate, money or property or whatever. But what will I do? The first few months were very tough. So I did go and spend a lot of time with my daughter to move away. I went to Delhi, spent a lot of time with my brother-in-law. He came here to spend a lot of time. That family support helped. But it's not something you can prepare for or plan for in any way. So that was sort of impulsive action, you know, a reaction rather than a proactive approach.
Okay. Thank you, Aloka. Thank you for sharing these thoughts. The idea is to open up conversations among women who have lost their partners and are struggling to make sense of it, to recognize that loss is inevitable and that it is prudent to be prepared in physical ways, at least. If you have lost your partner and would like to share your thoughts on living life single after loss, email us at editor@thehindu.co.in. Signing off on this episode of Women Uninterrupted, a podcast where we host difficult, different, and uninterrupted conversations brought to you by The Hindu.